Morning. Good to see everybody here today. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Something about being with family and friends. I know I did my share of eating Mexican food. Love that Mexican food. Polish food. Love that Polish food. American food. Love that American food. If it's food, I love it. Amen. I ate it. Amen. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 19. We're going to start here today. Kind of jump around a little bit. Let me give you a background of what I'm going to read. The Apostle Paul is on one of his missionary journeys. And this was his third missionary journey, and he went to Ephesus. And prior to getting there, there was a man by the name of Apollos who had gone to Ephesus. And this man, Apollos, the Scripture tells us, was mighty in the Word. And he converted some men and some women in the city. And then he left. And the Apostle Paul came in. And starting in verse 1, says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. It's always good to find some disciples, amen? When you're traveling wherever you're at, it's always a blessing to the heart to find some disciples. Someone who is a brother or sister in the Lord. I don't care where you go, you're going to find them. We've been on the mission field all over the place. I remember one time I was down in Jamaica, and we happened to go to this little resort area. And I was standing there, and the rest of the team was out somewhere else. I was just kind of by myself, and I actually kind of felt alone, if you can believe that. You know, because usually I just go talk to anybody. I don't care who it is. And I heard from the other side of this compound, Pastor Don! Pastor Don! And I looked, and I'm like, who in the world is that? And it was a guy that I had met 3 years prior that had remembered me. And he came running over, and we sat down, had a Coca-Cola together, and it was nice knowing that there were some disciples there, even when the rest of the team was gone. So he finds these disciples, and he asks them, he says, there he found some disciples, and he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I want to use that as a starting point today, because Pastor John, Keith Tusey, they've been talking over the course of the last few months, last month and a half, and we've been talking about warfare in the church. And when Keith Tusey came, he talked about the men being made for war. Pastor John talked about going into battle and being victorious. And even last week for Thanksgiving, he talked about how as a people we need to be thankful for the victories and the things that God has given us in our life. But as we get to this portion of Scripture here today, the Spirit of God just kind of laid it upon my heart to say that a lot of times that we're not ready for battle. And the Apostle Paul, when he came to Ephesus, he noticed something about these disciples that was lacking. And so with the spirit of discernment, he asked him, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, they were disciples. They had come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. If you read the account prior to this, when Apollos came to town, he said, it says about Apollos that he was a man learned in the Scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. So it was a baptism of repentance. And then a man and a woman by the name of Priscilla and Aquila, they came to town, and they heard Apollos preaching. But they were more advanced in the faith than Apollos was. And so the Scripture says that they took him aside and they explained to him the way of God more adequately. We need to have that pliable heart, amen? You know, don't ever think that you know it all, because there's so much in God's Word, so much in God's kingdom that we don't know. We need to be students of the Word. From Psalm 119, there's a section called Gemel. And it was about, you know, God, open my eyes to your Word. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate upon your wonders. And so Priscilla and Aquila saw in Apollos that he knew quite a bit. He was a very educated man, but he lacked something. He lacked that understanding and even that anointing that comes through the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul came into Ephesus, he met the men and the women that had been converted under Apollos' ministry. And he looked at them and he says, I got myself some soldiers here, but there's a fire missing. There's something on the inside that didn't connect. And that's why he asked them that question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? If you go back in the Scriptures, and you go back to when the Samaritans received the Word of God, it said that Philip went to Samaria, and he preached the Word of God to the Samaritans. And the whole city ended up getting saved. And we know the story about the one sorcerer who wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, after Peter and John found out that the Samaritans had received the Word of God, they decided to go down there because they were going to lay hands on them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. There was another depth that God was calling them into. And if we go back to the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus said, remain in Jerusalem. 10 days I'll send you the gift of my heavenly Father that you heard me preach about the council. 10 days later, they were in that upper room, and boom, there was a transformation that occurred when the Spirit of God came upon them in might and power. And they were transformed from ordinary, cowardly disciples of Jesus Christ into men and women that changed the face of the Roman Empire, the face of the Persian Empire in their generation. It started with one, and it went to 12, and went to 120, and it went from there to the continent. And so we've been talking about this warfare. And you've been called to be a soldier in the army of God. Amen? You sing that song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And we are. And we have to understand, we have to have a soldier's mentality, but we also have to have a soldier's heart. That's what I want to speak about today, is having a soldier's heart. And so when Paul saw these men here, he knew that there was something in the heart that was missing. And he desired to impart to them so that they could be effective witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word witness is an interesting word. Talked about it before. It actually means the word, it's a Greek word, martis, and it means martyr, to die for what you believe in. And that's what soldiers are willing to do, amen? They're willing to die for a cause. And Jesus said, you lack this, but when I send the Spirit of God, you'll be able to go into battle. You'll be able to lay down your life for the cause. When I was coming back this weekend from St. Joseph's, that's where we had our Thanksgiving dinner. As we traveled between St. Joseph's and Jackson, I don't know if you've ever been out there, but it's like, it's the end of the world. You know, there's nothing out there. You get to Battle Creek, actually between Battle Creek and St. Joe's. I mean, there's, you know, you're trying to find a radio station, you know, and it's like, you know, you can't even get FM stations out there. WJR comes in and you can barely, you used to be able to get the Tiger games. That's how you always knew you were close to getting home. Go to WJR and, you know, you heard Ernie Harwell or one of those guys come on and he's like, I'm home. I'm getting close to home because I can hear the local legend. But I'm out there and I'm getting nothing, you know. And my wife, she's sitting there. She's kind of doing one of these things because I just keep hitting the radio thing. And all she's hearing is, and she's just trying to sleep. And she just does, you know, one of these like, will you quit? Will you just knock him? You're just doing it to pester me. I know it. Can't you just let me sleep here in peace and, you know, leave the radio, turn the radio off. So I kept going, I kept going, and finally I got a radio station. It was out of Iowa. Now, how I got this radio station out of Iowa, I have no idea, but I somehow managed to lock in. I think it was the Spirit of God that kind of intensified the signal there. And the first thing out of this Yahoo's mouth was, we ought to quit celebrating Thanksgiving. And my antennas went up. I said, oh, this is interesting. And he started complaining. I mean, everything and anything. And I thought to myself, you know, 20 years ago, for somebody to come on the day after Thanksgiving and to do a radio broadcast like this, they'd have called the radio station and said, fire that guy. Because if you don't get that Yahoo off the air, we will never buy any products from any of your sponsors. They'd have dumped him so quick, his head would still be spinning. But he started spouting off his stuff. And the thing that came to my mind was, he's a warrior. He's fighting for what he believes in. Come to find out, the guy was an atheist. And he was spouting all this anti-Christian nonsense. And I thought, there's a war brewing. And he's showing he's got a fire deep down in his belly, amen? He's not afraid to go to the airwaves and say, hey, this is what I believe. And I wish I had a phone in my hand so I could have called him and told him what I believe. But as I turned him off and continued down the roadway in silence, it just struck me how, just as I was even thinking about this message, is how we've got to have that warrior's heart. So many times we have cowered back, amen? And the church has become ineffective. We, in our biblical worldview class today before the service, had a good point. It says, Pastor Don, you know, I think that what has happened is that we've abdicated our roles as fathers and as mothers. We have neglected the training of our children in the things of God. We think somehow they're going to catch it, but we're not willing to sit down. We're not willing to drag them and go to church. You know, come on, son, you're going to church. You're going to do this in church. You're going to worship in church. We're not willing to put that parental pressure on. And we think somehow that they're just going to develop and mature and these little Christians running around. No, there's a battle. You got it exactly right. We have played church. We've retreated. We've got a bunker down mentality. And it's to go within our four walls and to play church and sing some songs. But when those doors open, how serious are we about taking our faith to a lost world? And I know a lot of you in here are very serious about it. You know, we did the memorial service for Nancy. She was serious about it. I remember her and Donna coming in here crying, holding hands, praying for each other, talking about different people that they were ministering to. Many of you that have taken it very seriously. But the church, not this church, but the church as a whole
has abdicated that role.
And I want to stir you up this morning and tell you that we have got to fight even harder. You know, in our biblical worldview class today, in that video clip, the guy was on there and they're coming out with a movie. What's the name of the movie? The Golden what? The Golden Compass. Okay? This is produced by an atheist. Now, that's not no big deal because there's atheists that have written good books, good fiction books. But the whole purpose of this movie, and it's acknowledged by the author as well as the supporters, is to undermine Christianity. Comes out December 7th. Is that day familiar to any of the veterans in here? A day which will live. And this movie portrays a world where all religion is removed. And it's just a utopia. And everybody just gets along so well. And so they had a guest speaker. And this guy has been on the CNN program before. And by the way, the guy that hosts this section of CNN, he is a born-again Christian. I don't know what his name is, but I love the way this guy interviews people. I don't usually put in a promotion for CNN. Because first of all, I don't have cable TV. But I would watch this guy if I did. And this guy, he cautions parents. He says, this is done on purpose. Okay? You see, they're preparing for war. They have a warrior's heart. They're going to advance their philosophy, their worldview. And they're not looking to take any captives. Get that out of your minds right now. They're looking to conquer. They're looking to take dominion in the public square, in the public schools, in the law system. In every system there is, they're looking to take dominion. And how many of you know that a religious view will prevail in the day? There's a battle going on. There's a war going on. And we as Christians need to understand what our faith is, and we need to promote it. I love this Thanksgiving because when I go out there, my sister-in-law, her neighbors are relatives of my wife's brother. And they live in a house, a couple houses down, and real nice people. So I go over there, and I go over there on purpose. I always try to find a reason. I got to go over there and talk with these two people. And so I went over there and knocked on the door, and I said, hey, I got a couple CDs I want you to hear. He loves music. So put the music on. We started talking. Somehow, some reason, I'm like, God, okay, how are we going to get on the topic this year? And out of the blue, she says, Pastor Don, she says, we have to repair the organ in our church. And she says, I don't think we'll have enough money. And I'm thinking, how much can an organ cost to repair? I mean, you know, we run out and buy a new Casio and a nice keyboard there. What do those things run, Pastor John? A real good one. A couple $1,000s. So she says, do you know how much it's going to cost to repair our organ? And I go, I don't know, maybe $1,000, a couple $1,000. $125,000. See, it's an old historic church. And you can't have a guitar playing there. You've got to have the old organ play. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I blindfold somebody, put them in there, and said, is it live or is it a fake organ, they wouldn't be able to tell. Okay? And I'm just thinking to myself, where are our priorities? Not that there's nothing wrong with having good musical instruments, but the whole point was, you know, extravagant, expensive. So we began talking, and that was the door that got open. And she goes, do you guys believe in the Apostles' Creed? Now, if you were raised Catholic, you learned the Apostles' Creed. Talk to the tune of a hickory stick. For those that don't know, that's a switch that you didn't get. You remember the Apostles' Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. I believe in one Lord, blah, 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 Jesus Christ. And she goes, Pastor Donna, we believe that. In me and my big mouth. I go, no, you don't. Oh, yeah, we do. It's written in the back of our hymnals. I go, there's a lot of things written in them. Doesn't necessarily mean your church believes. And they had no idea. You see, they just assumed that that man that was up there that opened the word, that dressed in the black clothes with a white collar, was being honest and truthful with them. And I said, next time you go to church, ask your minister this. Is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? And she paused for a minute. And she says, well, are you telling me that people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, when they die, they don't go to heaven? That's exactly what I'm telling. She goes, how can that be? And I said, if it could be that way, Jesus Christ never would have had to die on the cross. Why would he endure what he did? Jesus himself testified that he was the way, the truth, the light. No one comes to the Father, what? Except through him. I says, you know, that sounds very exclusive, and it is. And it doesn't sound good to our ears, but that's the truth. And so we talked, and we looked for that opportunity, you know, and it actually turns out really nice. I enjoy talking with. But in this movie, it's just blatant, in-your-face atheist. And they had a lady on there who was an atheist. Very pretty woman. Usually, see, they've changed their tactics. You remember Madeline O'Hara? I mean, let's face it. She wasn't going to win too many homecoming queen contests, okay? She wasn't a very attractive woman. And her spirit that was around her was even nastier. And she'd get on that show, and you think all she's missing is a wad of tobacco, you know, and a razor. And she was the most obnoxious woman that you've ever met because she had a passion. She had a heart to destroy Christianity. By the way, one of her sons is a born-again believer now. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. But in this little video, there's this lady, very professional looking and proper. Well, atheism is a religion of being positive. Or she didn't say a religion. She said, it's a positive outlook of life and blah, blah, blah. And we're not against people. And we're not. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're against this guy. So the whole purpose of this thing is that they've become very militaristic in their evangelism. I tell the biblical worldview classes, all you got to do is go up to Barnes and Nobles. Go up there and ask for a list of the top 25 best-selling list of books. 5 or 6 of them are about atheism, that there is no God, the God delusion, blah, 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 and all that nonsense. And these guys are gathering a big group. There's a storm a-coming. You remember Elijah looked down and he sent a servant up there and he says, I saw a cloud, but it was the size of a man's hand. First, he went up there 6 or 7 times and he didn't see anything. He sent him up there again. He says, I saw a cloud. It was the size of a man's hand. And he says, rain's come. In other words, he knew that something was about to break forth. Church, I'm warning you. There's something about to. And there's a battle that's occurring in the spiritual realm. We got to be ready for it. So let's look and see what we need to understand about warfare, about a warrior's heart. Well, first thing is, and I mentioned this earlier, is number one, a warrior knows in his heart that his life may be required in battle. A warrior knows in his heart that his life may be required in battle. Turn with me, Acts 21, 8 through 14. Let's start at verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Paul goes into this area, and here all of a sudden this prophet in local church there, Agabus, he comes over and he takes his belt and ties up Paul's hands, he says, in the way that I just tied you, the Jews of Jerusalem are going to bind you and take you into Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me, somebody giving me that prophetic word, I don't think I'd receive it. I rebuke that word. I don't want that word. That ain't from God. Blah, 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 blah. Look what Paul says. And when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. You see, Barnabas was part of the group. Luke was part of the group. And so they tried to reason with him and say, don't go. But notice what he says. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Wow. I love that. I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to be associated. I'm willing to have my property confiscated. I'm ready to have my reputation thrown aside. I'm willing to have everything that I own, everything that is me, fall by the wayside for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't have that heart motivation to begin with, then Jesus says, guess what? He says, you can't be mine. He says, if a man wants to follow me, he says, he's going to pick up his cross and follow me. In other words, be willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ, his kingdom. And we don't preach that a lot of time. I mean, we do. But we have to settle in our heart. When those young men and those young women go to the boot camps, wherever they're at, once they get there, once they begin handling that weapon. I remember when I was in the police academy, first time I ever shot a gun in my life. We used to have these big 357 Magnums. I didn't know how to shoot. I never, you know, the only thing I shot was a BB gun or rubber bands, you know. So I'm holding this gun, and I'm shaking like, what in the world is going to happen? And I pull the trigger, and all I can remember is a flame coming out the front about that far. And I'm like, holy cow. But you understood what you were dealing with right away. We have to understand that if we're going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, our life may be required. And we know throughout history, there are many times that men and women were called to lay down their life, amen, for the sake of the gospel. Also, a warrior's heart, a warrior relies on God's strength in battle. Turn to 2 Timothy. You see, you can't go into battle on your own. That's why when the Apostle Paul came into Ephesus, he knew something was lacking in these men's lives. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? In other words, were you empowered? Were you given supernatural strength to become his witness, to become his martyr if necessary? 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 14, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. I like Paul, man. He ain't afraid to call a spade a spade. Somebody was giving him problems. He warned the church. He said, you better stay away from these people. You better stay away from Alexander because he caused me great harm. He'll do the same to you. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Gosh, shouldn't he have been praying for conversion? Interesting. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. If you saw that video clip about this atheist woman and this other Yahoo that was in there, did they strongly oppose Christianity? Yes. I just happened to stop the video because usually we watch a video or when we do Bible studies, I'll tell people, stop. I want to make a comment. And I just happened to stop it with no, I had never saw the video before. How did the lady's face look? Evil. You could literally see a demon spirit contorting her face. And as I said, she was a very pretty woman, hair done, nice outfit. But when I stopped, it just caught the whole spirit of what was going on. She had a vile look on her face. Just like, and as soon as I hit the play, her face went right back to what? Smiling. Oh, atheism is very positive. Blah, 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 blah. Apostle Paul. See, evil will disguise itself, won't it? The Bible says that the devil himself comes as a what? Angel of light. Comes very positive. But anyways, it says here, at my first defense, no one came to my support. In other words, here's Paul in this certain area, and he is being persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what happened. I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you, Paul. I got your back. I got your back, Paul. You can count on me. I got you, Paul. And he looked around to see who was standing behind him, and they were all gone. This is may not be held against him, but the Lord stood at my side. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear. And it was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He relied not upon the arm of man. That's why I love the Psalms. David cries out, Lord, it was, you know, victory was brought by your hand. I was delivered. You are my strength. You are my salvation. You are my protector. Because he was in those situations many, many times. But a warrior's heart will have to understand. You've got to understand that your victory is going to come only through God's strength and battle. That's why the Apostle Paul knew these men had to be empowered with the Holy Spirit himself. A couple more. A warrior's heart. A warrior knows whose side he's on. Nothing worse than somebody who is confused and has no idea whose side they're on. You ask them to take a particular position and to hold it, they don't know. They don't know why they believe it. Like this couple I was speaking to, I asked them, well, why do you think that way? Well, I don't know. We think that's the right thing to do. Instead of standing up sometimes and saying, you know, this is what God's word says. I didn't bring this out. Either we believe it, either it's true or it's not. You know, you could have very easily used some other sin. And they did. They brought up adultery and they brought up, you know, this or that. How about murder? You know, our society today is afraid to put murderers to death, aren't they? Well, let's throw them in jail. We can rehabilitate them. Word of God says that they need to forfeit their life. There were guidelines that were set up. Not like the guidelines we have in our justice system today. Back in ancient Israel, you had to have eyewitnesses if you were going to put somebody to death. So there was a greater level of culpability that had to be proved. A warrior knows whose side he's on. Turn with me to Joshua. I'm going to end here. I'll come back next week and give you some more. Joshua chapter 24. I know you're familiar with the scripture. Joshua. Great book, Joshua. You know, Jesus' real name was Joshua. Do you know that? It's true. That's just the English pronunciation. His name is Yeshua. Joshua. That's how we say Joshua, but the Jews say Yeshua. Verse 15. Joshua, they had conquered the promised land. They had now come into their inheritance. And he gathers all Israel and he says this, but as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. There was no middle ground. There was no wavering back and forth between two positions. Joshua knew he was a warrior. Joshua was a man that brought them in. You know, what a beautiful type of Christ. Keith Tusey talked about it, that the word, you know, the terms that we use to refer to Jesus Christ are actually military terms. And I want to tell you, we sing that song, the Lord, he is a man of war. How excellent is thy name. Jesus is the general. But Joshua says this, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There was going to be no distinction. He warns them about serving other gods. Turn with me to the last scripture of the day, 1 Kings chapter 18. And I know you're familiar with this story also. Elijah. Love this story. Elijah's going to have a showdown. You see, that is the type of heart we've got to have. There's going to be a showdown. That doesn't mean we're starting a revolution. What it means is that we're going to attack and bring captive every thought, every idea under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we're going to speak up and say, thus saith the word. This is what it says in God's word. And you can take it or not. And a society can be reformed when we adhere to what God has to say. You've heard of the Reformation. You know what the Reformation was? All it was a return back to the Word of God. The church had become so corrupt that these men were raised up and they begin to print the Bible, they begin to distribute it, and they said, hey, let's try living our lives according to what the Bible says instead of all these rules and regulations that this particular church has to say. My God, what a revolutionary idea. And it changed the face of the earth. You should read about the Reformation. 1 Kings 18:21. Let me go back to verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I'd like to have that, the troubler of Melvindale. I think I got that title. I go in certain places, there, that's it. That. Calls himself a minister. You have abandoned, I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. But you and your father's family have. Talk about being truthful. You see, when you stand up and you begin to proclaim God's word sometime, people don't like it. Or when things begin to happen in the supernatural, and he says, I'm not the troubler. You're the trouble. And you may not cause trouble, but what you believe, what you're trying to advocate, what you're trying to bring in is where the trouble. And he goes on, he says, you have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. You see, if you're not following God's word, you're following some other god, aren't you? Could be man, the final authority. You're either following God or you're not. It's that simple. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherahs who eat at Jezebel's table. There's going to be a showdown. There used to be a song by an old group, some of you old timers remember Electric Light Orchestra? There's going to be a showdown. High noon at OK Corral. There were some great football games on yesterday. And I'm sure people that went to those games, man, they paid top dollar to go see them. LSU and Arkansas. I'm sure, you know, some of them tickets are going for $2,000. I think I'd have spent upwards of that to see this show. Because the warrior's heart was stirred. Elijah says, we're doing battle. And he said, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. It's unique that they assembled on this particular mountain, Mount Carmel. Because that name in the Hebrew means place of fruit. You see, a certain particular fruit is going to develop. Jesus said a good tree brings forth good fruits. An evil tree brings forth evil fruits. In our biblical worldview class, we said every other religion except Christianity brings forth bad fruit. Only Christianity brings forth good fruit. It's because people who do good deeds does not make them good. So they meet on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. A warrior knows whose side he's on. And when we get to the New Testament, over and over again, we see that even the apostles had to make a decision. Whose side are you on? It's been very easy for them to say, you know what? We're not going to preach the gospel anymore. They would have been released from jail. They would have quit being persecuted, followed, and hounded. There was death threats upon their lives. But they had established, they had committed it in their heart. I'm on the Lord's side. It's for me and my house. I don't care who you follow. We are going to follow. And so as we look at ourselves as soldiers in the army of Christ, these are heart issues that we better have established. Because if we don't, when the time of testing comes, the Bible says that, oh, wait. So church, let's bow our heads right now and ask God to instill upon us, through His Holy Spirit, a soldier's heart, a warrior's heart, that we would know that our lives may be required of us one day, that our strength is not our own, it comes from Him, and that we know whose side that we're on. And as we pray, it's time to get into the battle. Sitting on the sidelines is not going to do you any good. That doesn't mean, hey, you're going to run out to the street corners. That means you're going to be a witness to Christ wherever you're. And there'll be those that will see it and will understand. There'll be others that will persecute you and hound you, put you under the microscope, will condemn you, will laugh at you, will mock you, whatever it can to throw you off your game. But if God be God, serve Him. Baal be God, serve Him. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the many examples in your word. We thank you, dear God, that you have taken us to be a people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you, called forth to bring you praise and glory. And Father, you've called us into your army. You've called us to be lights in the midst of darkness. You've called us to be witnesses or martyrs to the truth of Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, Father, that you would strengthen each and every one of us. Lord, there's not one person here that doesn't need a touch from you in a new way. I pray that even as Paul saw in that church of Ephesus that there was a lacking, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. I pray that we be filled afresh here today through the Holy Spirit. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower each and every one of us, that this week would be a week of transformation in our life, that you would use us in some way, Lord, to touch a heart, to bring them into your kingdom. And I pray, dear God, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, would rise up deep within us, that we would understand that we belong to you, that our lives are yours, that you are our source, that you are our strength. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, as we go forth, I pray your blessing upon everyone. Encourage us, strengthen us, and let the battle proceed. Let's have the spirit of David who ran forth to the battle line and defied the enemies of the living God, who knew that God was behind him even though he may have been slain. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve. Lord, we thank you for revealing your Son to us. We thank you for calling us out of the kingdom of darkness and into your life. Father, bless us today. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.